Los Angeles, in Long Beach, and I sat at the feet of a man named David Kopp that they started dealing with and making me face my offense. It wasn't that AT fault. It wasn't that preacher's fault. It wasn't them women's fault. Son, it was you. Because there were things in you that you had to deal with that you never wanted to deal with. And so it was easier for you to project it onto them as opposed to dealing with yourself. Because you will never be able to control totally what people hand you. But you will always ultimately be in control of what you do with it. And so what we want to deal with today is how to handle, how to deal with, how to release offense. I gave you that whole intro because I want you to know that I'm not preaching something that I don't live. Come on. I remember when I was getting ready to be consecrated as a bishop and somebody who was here, who I gave a platform to, they left and they wanted to slander me on Facebook. How he gonna be a bishop? And he only got 2 members. Yeah, that's what they said. Listen. You talking about offense. I got plenty of offenses. And oh man, and I, you know, we was gonna turn up. I had a couple of people like, oh, let me get her, Bishop. Let me get her. I know where they lived. No. See, the reality is there will always be a cause for offense. We're gonna deal with this. There'll always be a cause for offense, but it will always be your choice of whether you will become offended. Look at this equation. This is the best way I can define. This is the best way I can define offense. Personal issue times unmet expectations equals offense. Your personal issue multiplied by your unmet expectations of them will equal your offense. Remember this, because we're gonna revisit this at the end of this message. So the reality is that everybody got stuff going on. Everybody got stuff going on. Please understand this. If somebody omits to say good morning to you one Sunday, please don't lose your mind. Please don't take to Instagram and Facebook and beat them up. Maybe they had a life this week. Just maybe they heard a no when they expected to hear a yes. Just maybe. I know some of y'all ain't never had this ever happen to you in your life. Amen. I was talking to Deacon Mike. I love him. Deacon Mike is so boss. It was like, you know, since he's like, I ain't never had a check bounce. Well, congratulations for you, Deacon Mike. See, I had to watch myself because I almost got offended. Because I didn't have a few of them $35 charges. And so I had to watch it because I almost, watch this. He didn't mean it to be offensive. He was remarking on his experience. But because I immediately equated it to my personal issue, I almost got. He wasn't even talking about me. So we got to understand everybody has personal issues. And if we just start there, I believe we will be a more understanding people. If we just start there and say, hey, man, you got life too. I don't know what happened with your car this week. I don't know what kind of conversations you had at your family. I don't know how you felt when you went to your refrigerator. I don't know how you felt when you got that notice. come talk with me for a minute. Come on, come lean in, baby. Lean in. I don't know how you felt, but watch this. I know how I felt. And when we begin to do that, we will understand that each and every one of us have personal issues. Now, let's deal with this other thing. Unmet expectations. Spoken or unspoken. Let's deal with the spoken first. It amazes me how everybody has expectations. Everybody has expectations. You got them, I got them, we all got them. But sometimes, even the ones that are spoken, let's deal with this for a minute, we have to ask ourselves if our expectations are realistic. Your expectation should be based on your standard and their ability. That's not in my notes, but I got to give that to you. Here it is. Every expectation that you have on somebody should be based on two concepts, two variables. Number one, my standard. We should expect our standard. Now, some of us, if you expect substandard, well, then that's your problem. And some of us expect beyond standard. And some of us, beyond our standard, we can't even handle. Oh, hell. Some of us are expecting stuff that we don't even have the capability or the capacity to handle. What you looking for $1 million for? You don't tithe off the thousand. About to be a millionaire. Man, listen, you got three such and such and such. About to ball out. No. You need to ball up. So your standard, but also it needs to be according to their ability. This is Deuce and his brother Amaziah. They're babies. And if I expect Deuce to do what Joey can do, I have wrong expectations of Deuce. Spell your name. Deuce, you hear me talking to you, Deuce. Spell your name. What day were you born, Deuce? He looking at me like, Bishop, gone. Gone with that bishop. And as crazy as that look, that's how some of us look. Give me your commitment. Give me your this. Give me your that. Meet me on time. You know I ain't never on time. Why are you expecting me to do something that's not within my realm of ability? So you're offended because I'm me. Now, here's the thing. We're not talking about progression right now. That's a whole nother sermon. Personal development and all that, that's good. And we'll get there in a moment. But right now, we got to deal with this offense. Because nobody who's offended can progress. Okay, all right. You can't progress if you're offended because your offense keeps you bound to where you are and you feel no necessity to get better because you have staked a position. Okay, so unmet expectations. So if I'm gonna make an expectation on you, it gotta be based on my standard, and furthermore, it has to be based on your ability. If I put an expectation on you, what can you do? What is your level of ability? Now let's go further. That's spoken expectations. Many of us have unmet, unspoken expectations. And that's all on you. That's all on you, boo. That's all on you. Because you ain't even say it. So you want me to use telepathy. You want me to be prophetic. The Lord is telling me that you want fries. That's not how the prophetic works. That's not how the prophetic work. That's not how it work. So there are some things that you're met. Come on. Okay. We're going to be real in here today. I promise. I'm here. There have been times I have walked in months of pistivity with Karen. because she ain't do something I ain't never told her to do. But because it has been conceived in my head, and I feel like, well, you Karen, I'm James. I mean, we together, ain't we? I married you. You ought to, come on. You be praying every first. You be at church all day. You've been down there about 12, 15 hours. Lord ain't said nothing about James. He ain't told you nothing. No, because it ain't about me. It's about her and him. And so my prideful self is thinking that God is going to take his time away from his daughter.
Thank you, Sister Angela. Thank you. Yes, you're right. You're right. Amen. It's Mama Angie.
And so we have to understand, if there are things you expect from them, family, friends, loved ones, husband, wife, even in professional ministry arenas, tell me. Speak it. But now if you speak it out of your mouth, you remember it has to be said according to a standard, and it has to be said according to ability. All right? Now what we're going to do now, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures and to teach us how to deal with offense, and then we're going to do a quick case study, because yes, there is some serious offense in the Bible. We're going to do a quick case study, and then we're going to get out of here, all right? We together? Amen. Everybody on the same page? We understand the offense? Okay. All right. Let's get into it. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. Write down these scriptures. Keep them with you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. Look what the word says. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. And a quarreling is like the bars of a castle. Now, here's what we need to understand. Pastor Steve Furtick says, the closer we get to each other, the larger the opportunity we have to offend one another. People that are not close to you, they can't really offend you. They can say whatever they want to say. Like, huh, okay. Thank you, non-factor. I surely appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for your comment. Much appreciated. Thank you. You know, I had somebody come tell me, well, you need to do this with church. Thank you very much. I don't even know you. Thank you. Don't know your name. I don't even know what organization you represent. Thank you. God bless you. You know, I get my project. Thank you. Oh, glory to God. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. You know what, Reverend, if I was you in that church. Thank you. And I give it no other thought. But it's the folk that's right here. They blink too hard. What's in your eye? What you trying to say? I'm blinking, honey. I'm not saying anything. But the closer you are to each other, and so that's, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. David says it like this. He said, I could take it if it was the Philistines or if it was the Amorites or if it was the Jebusites, but it's Israel. It's my people that's on me. And you gotta understand that just as much as you go to bat for them, you gotta understand that they have a high propensity to offend you. People that are closest to you. But let's learn a lesson here. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. Let's deal with that quickly. The lesson that we need to take from this text is, if we want to disrupt offense in our life, we have to be willing to yield. Anybody ever seen those signs? Yield? Now, okay, because I know some of y'all are like, yeah, I seen it as I was proud. No, but here's what the yield sign means. The yield sign means that, watch this, it doesn't just mean stop, because some folk would prefer a stop sign than a yield sign, because a yield sign means that you got to use your judgment. Should I go or should I let you go? Let's deal with this for a second, because here's the thing. Most offense is not sin. Now, yes, there are offenses. There are offenses that are sinful. But if we be honest, in interpersonal relationship, most offenses, ain't nobody going to hell because of the offense that they did against you or you against them. But watch this. The enemy will use offense to separate us from one another because the enemy knows if we become one, if we are unified, he can stop us from doing nothing. And so what the enemy wants to do, he wants to keep us offended so we don't unify, so we don't become one, and so we don't push the kingdom of darkness back. This is why some of the most offended people in the world are church folk. Amen. Some of y'all still mad at a pastor from 18 years ago. Can't believe Reverend said that to me. I feel it sometimes. I feel, you know, people talk to me like, you know, yeah, my last pastor. I'm like, okay, hey, you know, let's pray. Let's, you know, forgive. Let that go. Our fears. Come on, let's cut that thing because, you know. The reality is we have to be willing to yield. Okay, listen. Okay. All right, go ahead. I want to go. I have the ability to go. But no, you go. Go ahead. I was talking to my wife about this earlier today, not today, earlier this week. I was saying, you know what? Here's something I've learned in leadership. I learned in leadership that it's not just about what you're able to say. One of the key components of leadership is knowing when not to say something. Many times, if you want to help people get to a level of maturity, your goal is to get people to self-correct. I should not want to have to stand over your neck every day for the rest of your life so that you do something. The goal is that you have the ability to self-correct. And so there are certain times where you should just yield and don't say anything. Okay, all right. I see. Everything I need to see, I see. Okay, all right. But we have to make sure that we are willing to yield. Everybody say yield.
Yield.
Okay. Know when and when not to. There's some things you will have to pursue. There's something that you're going to have to make clear. There's some things you're going to have to say. But there are some seasons where you need to just wait. Keep your foot on the brake. I know you got V12 attitude. You got that AMG. You know, I'm ready. I'm like, you got that Ferrari spirit. Drive all over you, but just know when to yield and just, okay, no, you, go ahead. Know when to yield. Let's go further. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Listen to what it says. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Let's deal with this. This is a biblical survey. Some things you're mad about because you're not applying good sense. Some things you're offended by because you're not thinking logically. Look at the clock. How can I get from here to here in 10 minutes? Look at how much money is in their account. How I'm going to do all of that? You'll be like Smokey's mama, make it enough. No. You'll be like Smokey's mama. No, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. This ain't enough, mama. No, don't even worry about it. We have to understand that good sense, logic, and here's the thing. Here's the amazing thing. When you are offended, you are not thinking logically. And this is why you should make decisions when you're offended. I can tell you how many couples that were on the verge of divorce court when they came to me and they sat in my office and I'd say, let's just wait. Let's just think about this. Because everybody ready to go off when you own. Okay, come on. I'm on and I'm about to go off. You got 10 in the chamber. You ready to go? I wish somebody would right now. But good sense. That doesn't mean you're stupid. What that means is that you're not thinking logically. Watch this. Your emotions is doing the thinking beyond your mind. When you get into offense, watch this. Your mind switches off and your emotions turn on. And so it's not your cooler head that's prevailing. It's your emotions. And your emotions lie. Amen. I know most of y'all got sanctified emotions. My emotions, listen, I'm very saved. I got the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. You hear me? I got fire. I didn't been to Africa and had a mother who can't even speak English pray over me. I know I got the Holy Ghost, but piss me off. All the Holy Ghost I have. Listen, y'all pray for me. Ryan is a witness. My wife is a witness. Who else is a witness? I almost went off on Apple, FedEx. Where Mike Lyons at? Come on. Losing it about my iPhone 10. And I still ain't got it. I went like, hello, I'm Bishop. And I'm like, where my phone? This is a professional. I don't agree with this. What kind? Do y'all have any kind? What is your corporate contingencies? I need some free AirPods or something. I need a free Apple Pencil. I know it don't even work with the phone, but I want one anyway because y'all just treat me unfair. I'm not thinking logically. I'm offended. Okay, all right. So I'm just the bold one today because you, okay. Come on, you cuss out the dog, the cat, the rats, everybody. And what you doing? I just came in. Come on, wait a minute. You know, if you hit, you call him, babe, what's up? Oh, shoot, let me just. You want some tacos? You want some? You want some? You want some? I go to downtown LA to go get it. I go. What you want? Can I go get you something? Don't. You gotta commit to being level-headed. Let me think logically. Let me think about this. Let me not get mad. Let me think about this. But then also he says, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Here's the idea. When somebody does something that is legally offensive, here's what he's saying. He says that God will credit glory to your account. Yeah, yeah. If you make up in your mind, I'm not going to be offended by what you did. Right. Oh, did anybody miss this? He said, I got a clause in here that I will give you some of my glory if you overlook what they did. God got all kind of hacks in here, Elder Ma. All kind of hacks. And he said, I'll give you some glory. Now, I don't know what the glory will do for you in your life. He says, I will give you some glory if you overlook somebody else's offense. What? I'll take that. Oh, no, you good. No worries. It's all good. Hey, you see that guy? I overlooked it. I ain't even trip. I didn't say nothing to him. I didn't say, did you see how I walk smooth? Oh. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 21. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Let me show you how most of us engage in offenses. Let me see those magnifying glasses, bro. See this is how when somebody offends you, this is how we be like, what did you say? What you mean by that? What you mean? What? Huh? What did that emoji mean? And we become detectives. We appear like Inspector Gadget. You know, we Sherlock Holmes. Ah, Mr. Watson. What did they mean by that post? You know, we just like, oh my God, what did you say? What did you say? What did you do? Oh, you didn't do it. What time did you show up? Because I'll geo-track you and I seen you and you posted when you was there. We just straight on detective mode. We looking into everything, every nuance. We looking at it too, and all it's like, oh, what did they do? What did they say? No, because when I talked to your sister said you were still at your mama's house. Like, what? He says, don't, watch this. Look at this. Don't take it to heart. Don't go so deep with it. Some things are not a challenge of your character. It's just a challenge of your condition. I'm not challenging your character. I'm challenging your location. You're good. You're just in the wrong place. And that's okay. Move. You ain't got to change your life. Just change your address. Change your seat. Oh, wait, if I ain't good enough for you. No, there's bad light here. I can't see you. Well, then you got to take me as I will, but can you put the seatbelt on, please? We can't go nowhere. I'm about to get a ticket. He says, don't take to heart. Don't take to heart. Watch this. He says, because if you do so, you may hear servants cursing you. Now, here's the cold part. When you start looking into offenses, you realize that there are more people that are offending you than you even know. Keep looking. Oh, what? I thought it was cool. And they talking about you behind your back. Don't look too close. My grandpa told me a long time ago, son, you go looking. You gonna find something. I know y'all don't listen to R&B music, but I do. P.J. Morton, one of my favorite artists, his new album, Gumbo, he got a song that says, I don't want to go through your phone. I don't want to go through your phone. I don't care. I don't want to know. I'm not looking. Now, I'm not challenging my wife. I think she's very faithful. I believe in God. You know, God got her. The Holy Ghost got a noose around her neck. And so, you know, she can act funny if she wants to. But I think the Holy Ghost, like, yeah. I don't even worry about it because I think if she even tried to hold it, like, ah! She'd be like, hey, bye. See you later. Get her, Holy Ghost. But I don't even, listen, like, we share phones here. Give me your phone, give me phone. Because, I'm not looking in her text messages. Where's Yelp? Can I go to Yelp? Can I pause parenthetically and just say this? Listen here. If you have to manage relationships with espionage, that's not a relationship. Okay, all right. Let me just, all right. He says, look at verse 22. Verse 22 says, don't take to heart, it says, your heart knows that you many times yourself have cursed others. So while you may be the offended party this time, don't forget when you were the offender. So he says, put down the magnifying glass and pick up the mirror. Ooh, shoot. Dang, that was, God damn, look at my poor, oh my God, I'm evil. Did I say that? Oh my goodness, I was mad. Oh my gosh, they had just, man, I had just, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, did I do that? He says, you got to get the mirror, because when you get the mirror, then you begin to look at yourself, and then there's equality that comes in. Because although you're the offended party this time, then you remember, oh, shoot. I did say that. Man, my bad. Okay, it's me. So put down the magnifying glass. Pick up the mirror. Because when you pick up the mirror, watch this, will cause you to accurately manage yourself. And can I help somebody here? When you begin to accurately manage yourself, you will find yourself in less inaccurate positions. Right don't hang out with wrong. And if we follow the example of Jesus, every time right go to wrong, wrong get right.
Okay, I'm gonna leave it alone.
Right don't hang out with wrong. And when wrong go to wrong, or right go to wrong, wrong turn right. And so some of us, we're not as accurate as we thought we were. Because if you were more accurate, there'd be more accurate people around you. Why the folk in your circle still ratchet? Could it be? Is it me, Lord? Come on, some of y'all get like the disciples in the upper room. Somebody gonna betray me. Is it me? Shoot, did I do it? I didn't even know that was a thirst trap. You gotta know. You gotta know. And so here's the reality. Here's the reality. We have to be willing to be introspective. We have to be willing to be introspective. I got one more scripture for you. Then we go. Then we'll close out in this case study. Listen, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4. It says, if the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. Let me talk to my high school students and my soon-to-be college students. I'm giving you exact same thing that I'm giving my son, Keon. You know, we had this conversation this week, right? About you're gonna have some professors that don't like you. You're going to have some teachers that don't like you, but you need to understand something. They got something you don't. What is that? Position. Because they can be wrong as two left shoes, but if you don't acquiesce to their will in that classroom, they will fail you, and you and your offended self will have to go get some more financial aid and pay another $897 for that class. And let the Holy Ghost be funny that day. We'll assign you to the same professor again. Be calm. Folk are going to say stuff that you don't like. Welcome. This is life. You are going to be in circumstances and situations that are uncomfortable. Welcome. This is life. You are going to be partnered with people that you would prefer not to be around. Welcome. This is life. Your parents don't pick their coworkers. Come on, your parents got somebody right now that's like 2 inches away from getting it. And they praying right now in the sanctuary as you speak, Lord, Monday's coming. And now, Father, I just pray as I ride in the car on the way there, God. He says, listen, don't leave your place. Stay in place. Some of you get out of pocket when you get offended. You're all over the place. You're out of your space. He says, stay in your space, because if you stay there, calmness will lay great offense to rest. Stay calm. Don't give anybody that much authority over your life. You cannot allow people to have that much authority over you, because then they become your God. They become your ruler. They become your king. They become your master. You can say whatever you want to say. Brother Curtis, come on, last week, I don't care. And watch this. If what you say concerns me, we're going to sit down and have a discussion. This concerns me. This is concerning. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. But many times, and I wish I had some people in here that would testify to this, many times we have lost good jobs. We have lost good relationships. We have lost good circumstances because we allowed our emotions, we allowed our offense to take us to a place to say something that we regret today. I'm blessed and I'm saved, but I could have had that job 10 years ago. All right. Last thing I need to share with you, and then I'll let you go.
Matthew chapter 11, go here. Matthew chapter 11, we'll look at verses 1 through 6. Because this is our case study. I said it before and I'm gonna say it again. It don't matter how saved you are. It don't matter how much Holy Ghost you have. It doesn't matter how many worship songs you know, how many scriptures you've memorized, how many discipleship tracks you've gone through. When you're offended, you're just offended. And what you have to learn to do is manage your offense. Have you heard some tools already? Yes. Let's look at this case study. Now, if anybody should not be offended, it's this brother. But let's just read this, and then we're going to walk through real quick. This is cold. We're going to walk through it step by step. Verse 1, when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's a teacher. He's a master teacher. When he had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went out from there teaching and preaching in their cities. So he does a leadership meeting. So he has a leadership meeting. And then they finish the leadership meeting. Then they go and do revivals. And so he's teaching, he's preaching, he's blessing people. Now watch this. Look at verse 2. Now when John heard in prison, what John we're talking about, we're not talking about the Apostle John. We're talking about John the Baptist, Jesus' first cousin, Elizabeth's son, the forerunner, the dude that when he came down the River Jordan said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the earth." The one that he wrestled with. "No, man, I ain't baptizing you. No, no. You the master. You the Messiah. I ain't even worthy to tie your shoes, man. I need to have you baptize me." John suffered to be so. Okay, I'm gonna baptize you. That John. But watch this. He's in prison. Look at this offense. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, and he sent word by his disciples, because John was a man. Jesus wasn't the only person with disciples. John had a few disciples. Matter of fact, John had a disciple before Jesus, because John was the man. He was a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He is the man. Locusts and honey. Wild fur on him. He had a cassock made of fur. That was his preaching attire. Anyway. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word to his disciples. And look what he says. Verse 3. Look at verse 3. And this is where we're going to stop. And he said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Wait a minute, Kena, did you see that? I'm your cousin. You've been preaching your whole ministry about me. You baptized me. You announced to the world who I was. But because you in an issue, because you and your feelings, because you're in offense, you question my identity? Does John look offended to y'all? Now let's talk about this for a minute. Why is John offended? What's going on, John? Why are you offended, bro? You mad, bro? Yeah. Talk to me, John. He my cousin. I know. His mom and my mama related. I know. I baptized dude. I know. I told everybody about him. Yeah, here it is. I expected for him to come get me out of jail. And John, the forerunner of Jesus, is having an existential funk in the prison because he expects Jesus to do something that he does not do. And I wonder, is there anybody in here, as saved as you are offended with Jesus? Because there was something you expected him to do for you.
that never happened. People that you love with all your heart. Come on, some of you got personal Jesus in your life that you done looked out for him, you done took care of him, but now you in a fence. And this is how you look with your grown self. I done baptized thousands of people at the River Jordan. I done performed miracles. I baptized Jesus. But because I'm offended. Now, this is what the enemy wants. Because as long as I'm in offense, you can't get to me. You can't deal with me. And I can't deal with you. The enemy knows that if we are united, there is nothing that will be withheld from us. So what he'll do is he'll allow our emotions to build up many offenses. And so we stay offended and we never become a part of what God wants to do in our life. We never find the right person because ain't no good men. Ain't no good women. I can't trust them, dog. Can't trust them. Nope. All these preachers, all the same. It's the man. The man, he holding us back. No, I ain't even going to apply. Because they just ain't going to do nothing but tell me no. And I'm living in offense. But keep looking at that scripture. Jesus, when he responds to the disciples, he says, oh, okay. Tell John, the blind are being able to see. The poor are being taken care of. The sick are being healed. The gospel is being spread. Things are happening. I'm doing what I was sent here to do. And John in that jail, right where he is where he's supposed to be. You see, sometimes we're offended because we haven't reconciled our destiny. Because you don't like what God wants you to do. John was called to die. He was the forerunner. He was never supposed to run with Jesus. He was supposed to go before Jesus. But he wanted Jesus to come get him out of jail. But he says, tell John, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But notice what he says here. Look at the end of the verse. Look at verse 11. He says, but blessed are you, or blessed are those who are not offended by me. What do you mean, Jesus? He means that as you live your life and as you do the will of God, if ever you find a time that you are flirting with the fence, you would remember Jesus and you would allow the finished work of Jesus Christ to cancel your offense. Well, what do you mean? Give me that last thing, Ronald. An offense is a partition between one person and another. An offense happens because one person disrespects, disregards, or even sins another person. It's a partition. It's a sort of veil. But the Bible says, when Jesus went to Calvary, and at the point of his death, there was a veil in the temple. I'm gone, y'all. And the veil in the temple kept the people from God. Because God had a right to be offended. Y'all sin, I'm holy. Y'all dirty, I'm righteous. But Jesus, who had every right to live in offense, said, Dad, I love them too much. Proverbs says that love covers a multitude of offenses. Now, when you read it, you think that it is just to cover. But when we read it in its Hebrew language, it actually means to absolve or to pay for. And so when Jesus took all of the offenses of the Father, because we all offended the Father, when Jesus went to Calvary and he hung on the cross and he died, the Bible says the veil of the temple, it ripped from the top to the bottom. Everything that separated you from the Father, that lie you told, that abortion you had that nobody knew about, that time you spent in jail, that infidelity, that harm to the family, everything that kept you separated from God, Jesus, in his love, he took his love and he made sure that the Father had no reason to be of offense. He made sure that we would no longer offend the Father, so that when the Father looked at us, he would no longer see our sins, but he would now see the blood of Jesus that covers all offenses. And so now God is no longer separated from us, but we have access. And so even though God has every right to be offended, we are covered by the blood of Jesus, whereby we have access to the throne of mercy. I don't know who you are in here, but Jesus says you need to cut down that fence. You need to drop that offense, because I was offended because of you. But I cut the offense so that you can get to him. And so you got to drop the offenses with them so that they can get to me. This needs to be the view of our lives this week. It happened, yes. Very real. Very real. It did happen. But I'm choosing to release the offenses. Because as long as I'm offended, I don't have access. But when I release my offenses, I have access to them. They now have access to me. And wouldn't it be tragic if the very people that offended us were the people that our destiny was intrinsically tied to? Can I prophesy? I hear God saying, at least for a few of you, your destiny release is on the other side of your offense. Marcus, pray for me, man. I feel like you're this close to your destiny move. You're this close to the next thing that's going to revolutionize your whole life. You're this close. Release it so that you can walk boldly into your destiny. I started by telling you, I've been offended. But every offense that I've had, I thank God he's opened up a door. And watch this. Not that it's all better, but I'm better. And I'm not telling you that everybody is going to love you and everything is going to get better. No. I don't know what they're praying about, but I know what you're praying about. And you're going to pray, Lord, give me the grace to release these offenses. I don't want to walk around offended. I don't want to walk around on pins and needles. I don't want to walk around like that anymore because I need total access to my destiny. I need total access to everything you've called for me. Release the offenses. Cut them. Cut them. Jesus did it for us, so you do it for them. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Father God, I pray that you take my feeble attempt and you concretize it in the hearts of your people. Father God, maybe through the exploration of the scripture, maybe through the exegesis of the text, maybe through the examples of the illustrations, they get a heart to release offense. And if there's any place, Father God, where I was in error, incapable, Father God, please forgive me. Father, I pray right now that we will become a people who are no longer offended, but that we will walk in grace, in mercy, and forgiveness, and we would live according to your will. We know that the enemy wants us to stay in offense so that we cannot come together corporately and accomplish the very thing that you put us on earth to do. But we rebuke the enemy right now. We rebuke the spirit of offense, and we declare that we will no longer be offended. And it is so. In Jesus' name, amen. How many received something from the Lord today? Now, this is not in my notes. This is just take this with you. Psalm 119, verse 165 in the King James Version says, "Great peace have they whom love thy law." Notice what the King James says, though, Kina. "And nothing shall offend them." When you get a love for the word of God, when you really start living for God, listen, there will be plenty of offendable things that come your way, but God will allow you the grace to walk with no offense. I'm not offended. I release that. I deal with that today. I take that in tomorrow. No. How many of you have been challenged by this word today? You're going to take it home and you're going to live according to it. Amen.